Hello and welcome to Way Too Twog's Bagpipe and History Podcast, where I, your host, Jeremy Kingsbury, explores the likely repertoire of 18th and early 19th century bagpipers. Let's enjoy some music. I was starting to get self-conscious about how much time I was spending just playing Highland bagpipes and thinking about Scottish piping. So the episode that I'm kind of working on and cooking on is looking at some 18th and 19th century Irish collections, or at least collections for Irish bagpipes, and looking at the key signatures and some of the interesting musical things that are happening there. And that episode is mostly done, but I'm waiting on an album from a friend to include a track, and it just needs to cook a little bit longer. And so, yeah, we're getting a little bit of a detour because, man, did I get detoured. So this episode might be a little short, but we're just going to play through the first 9 tracks in the Peacock Collection. If that doesn't mean anything to you, it is a favorite collection of tunes with variations adapted for the Northumberland Small Pipes Violin or Flute, published by Peacock in 1810 or so. I think 1810 was when it was first published. But yeah, I've got a Northumbrian small pipe chanter, and it's been taking over my life a little bit. So I'll share with you what it's like to play a keyless Northumbrian small pipe chanter after less than a week of playing. So really should let that cook a little bit, but that's what we're going to listen to. So I have a huge thank you to send out to Benjamin Elzerman, who printed this chanter and made the reed based on Colin Ross's reed making book. And it's just been sounding lovely. If you caught my live when I was unboxing it, there was a lot of squeaking and squawking, and poor Benjamin was like, oh, I guess the reed maker needs to do some work there, but that is at least 90, if not 100%, just my fingering. The more and more days that I work at it, the fewer and fewer squeaks that I get from the very tight fingering. Benjamin also kind of clued me into how to get an F drone coming out of my quiet pipe or small pipe, so that's what you'll be listening to today. Let's get started, I suppose. Let's just hear a track, because I tell you, I am loving this instrument. The first track in Peacock's collection is Frisky. And apparently, while there's lots of tunes called Frisky, according to a traditional tune archive anyway, it seems to be this setting and this tune is unique to Peacock. Here it is, Frisky. We should hear a little bit more about this collection. Like I said, Benjamin made the reed based on Colin Ross's book, who's certainly an important and established name in the Northumbrian piping scene from way back when. And I've got this collection from none other than Ross's music page, and it includes a introduction or foreword by Colin Ross, so I'll just read it to you. Foreword. This fine collection of airs, initially put into print in the first decade of the 19th century by John Peacock in collaboration with Thomas Wright, a local musician, as a favorite collection of tunes. Peacock was one of the finest small pipes player of his time, one of the last of the Newcastle Waits, i.e. musical watchmen, and almost certainly would have had all of these tunes in his repertoire. Therefore, this selection, generally known as Peacock's collection, is here produced in facsimile from one of the 3 remaining copies of the original book as Peacock's Tunes. The importance of John Peacock in the history and development of the Northumbrian small pipes cannot be overemphasized. As a player, he was known to Thomas Bewick, the celebrated wood engraver, who says in his memoirs, "Sometime before the American War broke out, 1775, there had been a lack of musical performers in our streets, and in this interval I used to engage John Peacock, our imitable performer, to play on the Northumberland or small pipes, and with his old tunes, his lilts, his pauses, and his variations, I was always excessively pleased. At one time, I was afraid that these old tunes and this ancient instrument might, from neglect of encouragement, get out of use, and I did everything in my power to prevent this, and to revive it by urging Peacock to teach pupils to become masters of this kind of music." Bewick subsequently employed Peacock to teach his own son, Robert Elliott Bewick, the intricacies of small piping. The set of pipes belonging to Robert Elliott Bewick can be seen in the Bagpipe Museum, Blackgate, Newcastle upon Tyne. This particular set was made by John Dunn, an eminent pipe maker with whom John Peacock also collaborated, resulting in the new invented pipe chanter, which had an extended range of four notes. Peacock's modification is clearly illustrated at the end of the book. Up until this time, the small pipes consisted of three drones and a simple one-octave chanter, and nearly all the tunes in this classic collections are playable on such an instrument. But the innovations introduced by Peacock and Dunn were the first steps in the development of the small pipes toward the instrument we know today, with its chromatic chanter and tunable drones, enabling musicians to play in keys other than G major. No other collection, either in part or manuscript, defines the repertoire of the Northumbrian small pipes as well as Peacock's collection. The essence of Northumbrian piping is contained in the distinctive melodies and variations, and clearly demonstrates the unique nature of this instrument and its music. Colin Ross, Chairman, Northumbrian Piper Society, June 1980. So I'm very much a neophyte to Northumbrian small piping and all things, and but still, I love that little introduction by Ross. You can see the similarities to lots of piping in Scotland and the borders at that time, of like this concern that it's going to disappear, and it doesn't seem to ever, like, that fear doesn't go away. When I was looking for things to do, because I'm, if you can't tell, a little sick today, and was trying to find a way to, like, round out this episode, I found an interview between Jack Armstrong and Alan Lomax, or maybe it was a radio spot for the BBC, but Alan Lomax, who's kind of a creep, but a ethnographer, was talking about how Northumbrian small pipes almost died out, but we have Jack Armstrong to thank from the 1950s. But anyway, here's a clip. I just found it on SoundCloud, so apologies to whoever I am lifting this from.
There's nothing sweeter in Britain than the tunes of Northumbria. Maybe this is due to the influence of the Northumbrian bagpipes, called the small pipes, because of their size. They make the loveliest sound in British folk music. A generation ago, this marvelous instrument had almost disappeared, but because of local folklore interest, dozens of players around Newcastle have begun to play the small pipes again. None of them, however, so skillfully as the bellwether of the flock, Jack Armstrong. Of the loneliness and beauty of these northern hills by the shepherds of the borders.
I was trying to find the context of that clip, and I couldn't really. I just found it on a SoundCloud channel called Old Town School of Folk Music. But I did find all of the recordings that Alan Lomax did with Jack Armstrong in 1951. So if you want to check those out, April 22nd, Alan Lomax clearly recorded a bunch of tunes with Jack Armstrong, so there'll be a link to that in the show notes. But those are all kind of questionable copyright, so I'm not playing any of them, but it's fun to poke around. And also found the Lomax collection, which includes like when Alan Lomax was in the UK, so you might want to poke around that too. I'll have links to that in the show notes. And then if you are confused by my comment of calling him a creep, I'll have a link to the Fire John Ear episode where the host of Fire John Ear found a clip of Alan Lomax talking to Burt Lloyd saying, oh, well, 14 isn't too young for a woman to get married in America. I was just like, wait, what? Anyway, if you're not listening to Fire John Ear, you should be anyway, so go check that episode out. All right, well, let's look at some more tunes. This next one is really funny. It's a tune I really enjoy playing, and it's also just a funny thing to look at, like the different contexts, I guess. Context's the wrong word, but the different way like a tune comes. So every version of this tune I've ever seen in the 18th and 19th century is called I'll Go No More or Gang No More to Young Town or something along those lines. But Peacock has it as Welcome to the Town Again. So clearly Peacock had a much different experience, you know, being welcomed in as the piper than everybody else recorded. So anyway, here is Welcome to the Town Again. Lovely tune on Northumbrian Small Pipes. So definitely a tune we've heard on the podcast before, and, you know, except under the other title of We'll Go No More to Yon Town. So quite a different vibe of being welcomed in versus never returning. But yeah, it got me, I went on a mini deep dive that I have abandoned wholeheartedly. I think we might revisit that tune and give it its own episode, so I don't want to do too much. But I got excited because Robert Bremner has a setting of that tune that's in the key of F. And a little bit of a, like, that's what's coming on the Illan Pipe episode is kind of looking at all of these tunes from Irish pipers that were in B flat and F and how to do that and what I think it might mean in various keys. So I saw Robert Bremner had it in F and I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. I've played more Illan Pipe tunes in F than I ever thought possible, but it was not. It was not friendly, so you're not hearing that, obviously. But what you will hear, though, is Donald McDonald's setting for it, which is, you know, pretty standard with all of them. But another way to, like, talk about how interconnected this music is, I think I'm mostly talking to people who are maybe too exclusionary or folks who probably don't listen to this podcast anyway, but every once in a while I'll get these really, my social media will feed me up some kind of silly person being like, no, those are Scottish, not Irish, or no, those are Irish, not Scottish, or some kind of weird exclusionary thing. But let's hear Donald McDonald's setting for that tune. And just as an excuse to mention that, you know, Donald McDonald had a tutorial on how to play Northumberland pipes. Like, it's sort of an unknown, doesn't exist copy, but Keith Sanger found an advertisement for it, and people are kind of still looking for it. So you might, if you've got a big dusty library, poke around, see if you have instructions for the Highland, Lowland, and Northumberland bagpipe, because that'd be pretty cool. But anyway, I'm not sure if Donald McDonald, I'm assuming based on that he made them, although as Keith pointed out, it's weird that he doesn't add Irish bagpipes or Union bagpipes, because certainly Donald McDonald made Irish bagpipes as well. But yeah, anyway, so here is Donald McDonald's setting for We'll Gang No More to Yon Town, and we might hear a deep dive, because there's a cool Northumbrian variation set of that tune as well, but I couldn't find it before recording this. Anyway, here's Donald McDonald on Scottish Small Pipes. I tell you what, after playing Northumbrian Small Pipes, going back to Scottish Small Pipes, it's just so much space. So much space! There's always a lot of discussion of like the revival of Scottish border pipes and small pipes. And I think, you know, there's a lot of big names that get a lot of credit for it in Scotland. And like they did a lot, it's deservedly so, but I feel like Northumbrian small pipe makers are left out of that discussion a little too often. Because, yeah, Northumbrian small pipes were a continual tradition. The instrument changed, as we, you know, saw from Colin Ross's introduction and as evidenced by Peacock's collection that has, you know, generally it's a pretty restrained collection of tunes that you can play on a keyless chanter. But kind of as the instrument evolved and added more and more keys, I think Northumbrian small pipes kind of took over. And we look at the, like, what happens to Scottish small pipes, apart from kind of just disappearing. But you see people kind of inventing weird Highland bagpipes with lots of keyed chanters to try to extend that range. And I don't know, I feel like that's sort of what happens, is everybody who's interested in still playing these things, like that Scottish small pipe sound, it's like, well, why wouldn't you play Northumbrian small pipes and get all those extra keys and notes, which is sort of what the popular thing is to do if you're not willing to do Irish bagpipes, right? Anyway, let's get on to the next tune. I'll have more to say about that in the future. But anyway, for our Jeremy is sick, so let's hear an episode. Let's just keep going. Anyway, this is another one of my favorite tunes from the collection. This is A Mile to Ride. Thank you. Northumbrian small pipes are such a, at least a keyless chanter, is such a limited instrument. You know, you have 8 notes, and more than that, like, there's not really cross-fingering, and the level to which there's no cross-fingering, you're not even really allowed to have more than one finger off at a time, unless you're doing vibrato, and even then I think you might be guilty of choiding. I don't understand completely the rules yet, but it's a really limiting feeling instrument, and you can kind of see how the desire to add keys and get a fully chromatic and more complicated drones. And anyway, my sense of like how simple the instrument is or restrained is certainly aided by the fact that I only have one drone going ever with this, with how this is going. It also is one of these transposing instruments where this chanter is in F, but you're supposed to read the music in G and just kind of ignore it, which is obviously something that Highland pipers are quite familiar with, or most of them don't know that they're doing that, playing a B-flat instrument in A, kind of. But yeah, it was, it's been interesting getting used to not having that flat seventh. It's really weird at first, and one of the reasons that it was kind of a godsend to look to Peacock was that I didn't have to worry about that because it was all written for this instrument. Anyway, really loved that tune, Ride a Mile, and I decided to go looking around and, you know, speaking of Keith Sanger, for years now, he's been telling me that I would really enjoy looking through this collection from Isla. The collection of real Strass Bays and slow tunes arranged for the piano, chiefly composed by Alexander Mackay, musician Isla. And he's right. It's awesome. I've played a couple tunes from it here and there. It's also published by J. McFadgen, which I think, I wonder if that's the same J. McFadgen that printed Aird's stuff. After Aird died, you'll see the McFadgen name a little bit more prominently and stuff. But anyway, this is the I just distracted myself from running away from the name, the Mackay setting for A Mile to Ride jig, and this is in G, so that means that there's C naturals in it. And yeah, using my Scottish small pipes from Quiet Piper, of course, I have a C natural, you know, back thumb hole, so I can play those notes. And according to Keith, there's quite a few tunes in here that Mackay recorded that are kind of likely Highland pipe tunes, and I'd say this is one of them, especially given the fact that, yeah, Highland pipers could easily play a C natural back in the day. But anyway, I did this, I think it's an E minor, technically, not 100% sure on that, but I think it's an E minor. And when I was going through and playing it, there's a lot of kind of D's and B's and F's. And when that's going on, I always think that my kind of G tuning is going to sound nice on the small pipes. We're kind of tuning everything to G and D. But it keeps on having these E notes because, like I said, I think it's an E minor. And so when I tuned everything to G and D, it didn't sound, it sounded more off than not. So then I tuned the little kind of accent drones to E, and that sounded pretty good. And then I added a G drone, and that also sounded pretty cool. And then at the end, I was like, well, let's do the low A drone as well. So anyway, that's all to say that this tune sort of got away from me, I think, probably in as a result of only having one drone going with this Northumbrian small pipe keyless 3D printed chanter. But anyway, here is A Mile to Ride from Alexander Mackay from around 1822-ish, I think, is when this publication came out. But lovely tune. Thank you. lovely, just lovely stuff. It's really fun. You know, Benjamin printed me the chanter, 3D printed me the chanter, but he also printed me a couple split stocks so I could add my old Denny Hall D chanter to the pipes and my B-flat McCallum small pipe chanter to the pipes. And this is great, man. Like having the Quiet Piper pipes, which are already amazing, and now they can just fully be the engine for all of the small pipe chanters that I have. Although all of those, the Denny Hall and the McCallum chanters, are both way harder than all the other chanters I have, so I might have to do some tweaking. Anyway, let us get back to Peacock. If there's any doubt in your mind about the connected nature between, you know, music in Northumberland with Scotland and the rest of, you know, the world, but certainly between Scotland and the and Northumberland, there's two tunes just in this first nine set of tunes that I'm playing from Peacock that talk about or kind of reference Neil Gow. So anyway, this is the next one. This is Neil Gow's Wife. Well, as if to immediately contradict my claims of everybody played the same music all the time, it's worth noting that that setting for Neil Gow's Wife does show up in other places, but they're also in Northern England. So that's what Rook's setting is, pretty close to that too. So here is Neil Gow's Wife as penned by Gow and Sons. Anyway, I'm not sure if you really get to say this is from Neil Gow or not. I'm someday I'll do a deep dive into these Gow Repository of Dance Music of Scotland books. But anyway, this is in part two, so it's published around 1802, and it's in B flat, so I played it on a B flat whistle, and this is my first time playing the tune, and it's sort of tricky to sight read it that for me, so please be forgiving. Anyway, here's Neil Gow's Wife. I should have held my tongue. This next tune is in every single version of music anywhere. This is the most popular tune under the planet. This is Peacock setting for New Drops of Brandy. Well, to keep variety up, let's do an Irish setting of that tune. This is Walker Jackson's setting, a little bit of a preview for kind of what I'm going to be talking about on the next episode, hopefully. Walker Jackson has this tune titled Cumulum, and it's a really weird one in his collection because it uses so few notes. So you can play it on a keyless Northumbrian small pipe chanter. You have to, you know, move your starting position, but it's all fits within that 8-note range. So anyway, here is Walker Jackson's Cumulum from his Celebrated Irish Tunes from 1774. And back to John Peacock. This is Bonnie Ladd. I'll be honest, I was expecting that to be an absurdly exhaustive and impossible traditional tune archive hunt, but yeah, there's not a ton of tunes under the name Bonnie Ladd, so yeah, Peacock has got one setting. There's also a couple settings from Ireland, and yeah, anyway, cool tune. Let's move on. Speaking of Neil Gow, this one's just called Neil Gow. So as the introduction or foreword suggests, most of the tunes in this collection are just suitable for a keyless chanter. Neil Gow is the first one that isn't, and it's the only one that isn't that I'm going to play through, so I kind of fudge it a little bit in order to, I think, still make decent music, but it's not exhaustive, but a couple notes drop below what the chanter can do without keys. So anyway, here is John Peacock setting for Neil Gow. Well, let's check in with Mr. McFadgen. Sawi, this is aired setting for Neil Gow from Volume 5, and this is printed by, again, J. McFadgen. And I think it is the same one. They're both published in Glasgow. So anyway, here it is. I'll play it on a whistle so you can hear what the low notes are supposed to sound like.
Thank you.
This next tune, back to John Peacock, another tune that shows up all over the place. This is Monty Musk. For whatever reason, I just couldn't wrap my fingers around Monty Musk. It was sort of the hardest tune in the collection to me, and I think, in no small part, it was because I was super excited to play the next tune, which is Lady Coventry's Minuet. If you remember back to Season 4, Episode 34, although I have run this episode as a rerun back in Season 6 as well, but I was talking about this tune. I got super excited about it because, famed Scottish music printer and writer Robert Bremner's brother, James Bremner, who almost certainly wrote the guitar tutorial, he moved to Philadelphia kind of in the lead up to the revolution and wound up making music with Francis Hopkinson, who went on to be a signer of the Declaration of Independence. And because of that, maybe Hopkinson's music collection has been kind of collected and preserved by the Library of Congress. And it has a setting in there, like James Bremner's name actually shows up. So Francis Hopkinson has Lady Coventry's Minuet with variations by James Bremner. And I absolutely loved this tune back in Season 4, Episode 34, I think. But I couldn't really pull it off on Ellen Pipes. And now, like, the only thing that's particularly difficult is the last part. There's sort of a weird thing that James does. But I was just sitting down to, like, play it. And I was like, man, this is sort of repetitive. I don't understand why it was hard. And I honestly don't understand why it was hard to me back then, other than that last part. But, and this is the cool thing, the reason it seemed kind of repetitive and dull is because Jeremy, back in 2020, when I first encountered this, learned to just not pay attention to key signatures. And James Bremner's variations involve switching the key from, nominally G major to B flat. And it really kind of adds some funk. It adds some funky stuff to this in a way I really like. So anyway, a good preview for kind of what's to come is I've been playing through a lot of Ellen Pipe tunes in B flat and in F, in terms of like numbers of flats and sharps and stuff. So I was like, oh, I can do that. So here is Lady Coventry's Minuet with variations from James Bremner as recorded by Francis Hopkinson, complete with the B flat variation. So pretty stinking excited. Well, I'm pretty pleased with that. I kind of panicked as I was playing through at that time. What you heard is obviously the best version I recorded of it. I realized what was going on by looking at that tune again, like already 2 hours after this podcast was supposed to be out, and then I played through it. So the time was crunched, and my baby has been sick like I am, and so I was nervous about waking him up. But anyway, I got it, and then I started playing Regs. I was like, why am I playing Regs? That's the surest way to screw everything up. So anyway, that's the tune, Lady Coventry's Minuet. It's just absolutely delightful, and Peacock setting is just as lovely, although it's not a variation set. It's just kind of the core melody, but I really love it. And again, I couldn't quite pull it off as good as it was supposed to sound in my head, but that's what you're going to get. And we're going to call it an episode. It's funny, I don't know that I've ever recorded an episode quite this sick, plus the addition of a brand new instrument to figure out how to play. So, I don't know, this might get erased tomorrow. Who knows? Huge thank you again to Benjamin Elzerman. It's been a joy. This is certainly going to cost me a crap ton of money because, indeed, I am hooked and I need to buy a real, like, proper full set of Northumbrian small pipes with multiple drones that work for the pitch and maybe some keys because this chanter is sure going to be learnable for kind of figuring out the intricacies of keyless playing, which I think is how you're supposed to start. So anyway, lovely stuff. We will have more thoughts from me, hopefully when I'm a little bit healthier, on Northumbrian small pipes. And there's just so many reasons that I want to get into this. I have, like I said, I already have like an episode and a half recorded talking about Northumbrian small pipes and collections from Northumberland. So I'm jazzed. I'm looking forward to a summer full of playing these tunes. So if you want to support the podcasts, you can send me a bagpipe like Benjamin Elzerman and Robert Felsberg. Otherwise, you can also join the Patreon at patreon.com/waytotwog. Or tell somebody about the podcast. And yeah, always appreciate that. Whole buckets of my sick. I'm so sick. I don't think I've been this ill since before COVID. It is no fun at all. Anyway, I'll quit whining. I always hate it when podcasters complain about being sick and say, I'm so sorry for my voice. But I'm just sorry I'm sick. I don't care about my voice. It's the illness. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Let's go out with John Peacock's Lady Coventry's Minuet.